Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
Yo, yo,
ah, now, fucker.
Tune in to Al Joe, the funk master. Watch your grill, yoga, knock that cold faster. Talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet, fuck a name and the fame. Only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't safe.
Motherfucker.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps episode. I don't even know because I've missed 2 weeks of the show for a lot of reasons, but we have a guest on today from Long Island, Anthony Dilemmi, one of my training partners from Long Island. What's up?
What's going on, Al Joe?
So we had you out here for fight camp for Pedion, Mission Pedion, but that obviously fell through for...
Ended short.
For reasons we don't really know, which kind of sucks, but it is what it is. We're here now, and I guess we got to just get ready for the next one, hopefully.
Yeah.
Next year.
Yeah. I mean, it's still going to happen, but you just got to wait a little longer.
Yeah. So, I've had a few questions I want to ask you, and I guess we'll start with, like... I know you wrestled because I saw you in the wrestling mat when I was coaching, still coaching back in Long Island. And I didn't even know you were going to the gym at the time. But I remember seeing this kid and I was like, yo, this kid looks very familiar. And then I go back and I'm looking, I'm like, I don't know. Because, you know, people look different when they're in the gym versus them in a singlet, you know, getting after it. And I remember asking, I think it was Franco, and I go like, does that kid wrestle for like Sawanica or something? And I think he told me, yeah. And I was like, all right, because now I could put it together because it didn't really make sense to me. I think you had a shave back then too.
Yeah, no beard.
For high school.
Beard.
Yeah, so no beard. A lot different back then. So how did you get started in MMA or kickboxing? Because I know you were kickboxing before this.
Yeah, so I started karate when I was like 6. And then, so it wasn't just like a typical karate school. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like it had like the katas and like the typical, you know, you in the gi, you see all that. All that stuff. But we also were a fight team. So, like, eventually I had my first kickboxing fight when I was 15. But I also got into wrestling. So what I would typically do is I would fight right before a wrestling season.
Yeah.
And I would have my fight, and then I would go through the season. And I would always train, but I wouldn't say active while I was fighting. Like, I should have been fighting a lot more frequent.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like that one fight. Like, I did that for, like, 3 years.
While you were wrestling? Or?
Yeah, I would take the fight before wrestling season.
Yeah.
And then wrestle. But like, okay, that was it. And then I would just, after wrestling season, I would just kind of enjoy the summer, enjoy school, and then I would pick up again.
Yep.
That's not the way to do it.
I mean, it was kind of how I did it in college, to be honest. I would fight. When I first started, I would fight, and then I would go wrestle for the season. I tried to do both during the same time, and it was like, yo, this is impossible.
No, yeah, like, it's impossible to do it together, but like, would you fight again after?
Yeah, right after. After season? Right, okay. After.
See, that's where I did fights. It. So it was like a year stretch, and it was just too much.
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't work like that.
So, yeah, okay, so then fast forward, you're wrestling, you're fighting, and how'd you end up at law from your, what gym was that you were at before?
It was called New Generation Karate, so it was in Franklin Square.
Okay.
Smaller gym. And then eventually I knew that I just, like, watching UFC and I actually had a family friend that was like, if you really want to take this seriously, you got to go to Cerro Longo.
Yeah.
And so he brought me there.
Let me just bring this closer for you.
Thank you. He brought me there, and that, at the time, that was when Al was just coming off the Ultimate Fighter. Costa was still there. You know, Weidman, I believe, was just getting ready for the title fight. So it was like a kid.
Oh, you came at a great time.
Yeah, great time. You know, it was a lot at first. I know Ray Longo, like, you know, taking his class and talking to him. So I knew, like, all right, if I really want to do this, that's where I have to be.
Yeah. So who took you to Ray's?
It was a family friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
You still talk to him?
He actually passed away.
Oh, damn.
It's been like 5 years. No, that's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, he big UFC fan. We used to watch the fights all together. So all the time. So he knew, like, all right, if you really want to do this, because he always believed in me, you got to go to this gym.
Yeah.
And it was the right move.
That's good. That's good to hear. And it's always an interesting story. I remember for me, I went to the Ring of Combat. I was this kid in the back room. I knew all the guys from Long Island. Weidman was there, Al, Ray, Matt, the whole nine. And they were getting him ready. It was my first fight for Ring of Combat, fighting for the belt, short notice fight, 2.5 weeks. And I had no business fighting this guy. It was a purple belt. And I was freezing in the back room, freezing my balls off. And I was like, yo, man, you want to borrow my hoodie? Like, you're dying over there, pretty much. And that was my first interaction with Ali. I remember him from wrestling season because he wrestled. He was a senior when I first started wrestling. He was a senior. Okay. I was a sophomore.
Okay.
And that was the first year I wrestled. And I just remembered him from that, but I never actually talked to him. I knew he was a good wrestler. He took second in the county. I did too. And he hooked me up with the sweater. And it helped me before the fight, even though it was the worst fight, probably my second worst fight.
See, ever. I didn't even know you fought ring combat.
Once.
It's a champ. And that was after all the CFFC. You were still the champion.
That was before CFFC.
Oh, that was before.
Yeah, it was my third pro fight. Yeah, my third pro fight. So I was 2-0.
Okay.
God awful striker. God awful. I was just a freestyle striker, whatever. But it was a bad fight, man. We just both. Just like, you know what, we're just going to made it like a little agreement. We're just going to wrestle each other to death. And I got a split decision win. Yeah.
Okay. It's all that matters.
But that's how I got hooked up with those guys. And then from there.
How long were you training at Law before you took that fight?
No, I wasn't at Law.
Was it?
I was upstate New York.
Oh, you were still upstate?
Yeah, yeah. So I didn't even know these guys. I knew them, but I didn't know them.
But did any of your coaches come down?
Yeah, yeah. I had one of my coaches down at the time. Ryan Ciotoli.
They just happened to be there and you kind of...
Yeah, yeah. So I was fighting for the title.
Okay.
He was fighting that Brazilian guy for the first time that he had that crazy war with. Oh my God, that was insane. But then after the fight, I saw Wyman on the casino floor. And he's like, hey man, aren't you a Long Island guy? What are you doing upstate New York?
Yeah.
Why don't you come train with us kind of thing? And I was like, bro, as soon as I finish college, if that's still like an option, because I knew my gym was kind of going downhill. Everyone was leaving.
Yeah.
Leone, who went to Bali, Don Carlo Klaus. The gym just started to go more towards the public side. And unfortunately, it's still, fighters. Yeah. So I kind of just was able to project the future. See, I'm like, all right, this is probably a place I got to abandon ship at some point. And I made the right choice. Hit him up later. Next thing you know, same thing. I'm at Cerro Longo.
It's good.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how that all worked out. Especially being Long Island guys.
Yeah, you know, there's so many guys just from you. Yeah, I mean, you're Uniondale, then Al's Wantagh, Wyman's Baldwin. So it's like the next town over. Like you got all these guys, and it's cool. It's just cool to see.
Yeah, in Franklin Square.
Yeah, not too far away. We got some guys from there,
and we got Eddie Truck Gordon, who was from Freeport.
Freeport.
So it's a lot of local guys. That's what I like about it so much because it seems a little bit more family. Even it's like family from a distance. Like you know that. Yeah. That bloodline that everyone don't actually talk to all the time. But
generally
then,
around the same area. Yeah. It's like homegrown talent. Like yes. No one, we don't scout. Like kind of now we're getting people from all over, you know, different places or even different countries. But like mainly, and especially in the beginning, it was, you know, just homegrown talent, guys from the area.
So you've never done MMA before you came down to Law, though. That was the first.
I was always training MMA, but when I would take like
at the first, school, New Generation.
Yeah. So I did a little jujitsu, like I wrestled, and then we obviously did the stand up.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was taking kickboxing fights because I was 15 and then 16, 17. Like so I believe at the time.
No, that picture was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was a great picture.
Really young.
What was that? 15 or 16?
I think it was 16.
It's a good picture.
I think you had to be 18 to fight MMA.
Okay.
At least that's what I was told.
Yeah.
So that's why I always took the kickboxing, get some experience, you know, more gear on.
Yeah.
And that's why. And I liked it. I enjoyed it. And then even when I came to Cerro Longo, I took 3 kickboxing fights before I actually took an MMA fight.
Yeah.
I always felt like I didn't pay enough attention to the jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I know I was a pretty good wrestler, but I felt like, I don't know, I would get into like these things like, oh, I have to be at least a blue belt or at least this belt.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Which I kind of agree with. I think you should have some experience. Because if you get taken down, you're a good striker. You get taken down one time and you don't know what to do there. It makes it really, really tough to battle back. Because they can get you in one position and it'll just be the guy on his back or the girl on her back flailing her arms around. And just like fish out on land.
Yeah,
it could be really bad.
When it hits the mat, just a totally different sport than wrestling.
Yes.
You don't want to give your back, but in wrestling, you don't want to be anybody. Yeah, so it's just totally opposite.
Yeah, that was a little weird for me. I remember, I remember my first time doing jiu-jitsu, and I was like, yo, bro, I'm not understanding this. Like, wrestling, we turn and we stand the hell up.
I was told all these years, don't go on your back. And now, all right, you want to give my back.
Now you're pinning yourself.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's actually really funny.
So fast forward. So my thing is, we had a good training camp. And for those that don't know, we record everything. In terms of sparring, and Ali had a lot of good things to say about you. For those who don't know, I'm talking about Ali Abdelaziz, and he said a lot of great things about like the sparring, saying you're striking and whatnot. Yeah, so he was very complimentary about that.
That was really nice of him.
And I thought that was really cool because he was able to see the outside work. Obviously, he's managing guys that I've competed against or will compete against. So it's a little, it can be a little strange in that sense, but he makes it a little bit easier to bridge that gap and not make it as awkward.
Like, even if it's his guys and he doesn't take, like, it was very nice to you. And I was kind of shocked how, you know, your guys' relationship, you guys seem pretty close, but
we had Thanksgiving dinner. We broke bread. We broke bread at his house.
That was a fun experience.
I don't know if that's weird to say.
Just because you're not his guy doesn't mean like he can't be friends with.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always business, you know?
Yep. And that's what that was cool about it.
That was cool to see.
Yeah. So we had some good training sessions, man. We were rocking and rolling. I thought I was getting ready to peak at the right time. We had 3 weeks left, and then we get the news that Sunday morning. Crazy. Yeah. And then it's just a big change of gears. So now it's like, well, what do we do? So some of the band has already broken up. Stephen Lee has already left us, RIP.
Jump
to the streets.
Right away.
Yeah, right away. we had a conversation about this. Lemmy's like, yeah, you know what? I'm gonna book my flight for Monday, you know, hang out for the weekend.
Stay the weekend.
And then Stephen's like, okay. So he's talking about it. He makes it sound like it's fine. Like, yeah, this is a plan.
Steve Lee, man.
This guy then tells us, hey, guys, I booked my flight for Saturday. What do you mean you booked your flight for Saturday? We just discussed this. Oh, I didn't know we agreed to that.
No, we definitely did.
I'm like, what do you mean you didn't know? We talked about this.
Stephen Lee. Wanted to get home.
Yeah, so today's Monday. Delamy's actually taking off today. I just took my girlfriend back. She came out after Thanksgiving to kind of hang out for a little bit. She's actually dealing with some stuff. I don't want to get into too much details, but her family, her extended family and her brother, her immediate family, both got COVID. So her brother's in the hospital right now. So hopefully things go well. And, you know, it is very scary, especially given the circumstances.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And I feel like
I can't give too much details, and I don't want to because it's her business, you know, so it's a little weird for me to
talk about. No, it just makes it real when someone you know or someone close to you gets it.
Yeah.
You know, it just really makes it real and puts things into perspective. Like, this is a real thing, and people can get really sick from it.
Yeah, he's in the hospital right now. So hopefully the oxygen levels get up there and he's able to breathe back on his own, because that's really what it is. If he's not able to breathe back on his own, they're going to have to put him on a ventilator to help him with his breathing. And that's not always the best.
No.
So hopefully, you know, he makes a full recovery and we'll see what happens. So that's something that's weighing heavy for myself, her, and kind of just changed the whole vibe of the whole weekend. Cause it's like, you know, coming back the next day after Thanksgiving, coming here, and then,
and then
that gets
having to leave
dropped
right
on
away.
You. So like, fuck, you know, so, we'll see what happens. I sent them a text message and everything, just like, you know, this is your fight right now. So
yeah,
just hopefully you know, whatever
strong,
things get feel tough, like, you know, remember your little ones.
Yeah,
and
you got
that,
other
like,
people you got to be there for. So
yeah,
you
know, so
it's definitely an unfortunate situation. Just hope he could come out and get past this.
Yeah. Other than that, we had a couple of fights this weekend. The first one I really want to talk about was the Nate Robinson versus Jake Paul.
Oh man.
That was a phenomenal fight. I know you got a lot of great things to say about Jake.
Like, I can't. So I thought Nate Robinson was a football player. He's a
basketball player.
Yeah. Okay. So that's even worse. That he's stepping in the ring, and he, like, clearly he can't fight. But they probably made millions and millions of dollars.
Yes.
But real fighters who train and do this all year round the right way and actually know what they're doing can't get paid that, especially when you first get into the UFC, or how many local guys are busting their butt. They just want that one shot to get in the UFC. They're scraping by. We were watching the highlights of The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
Look at all those guys just scraping by, just want that one shot in the UFC. And then you got these two bums coming in there, having a boxing fight, calling themselves boxers, and making millions and millions. They have a big following on YouTube, I understand, but I don't know what kind of world this is that you could just do that.
Yeah, Nate's got the following from, like, the basketball and stuff.
Yeah, former athlete. All right, a little more respect, even though he clearly couldn't.
It's just a different world.
Different world. And they're YouTubers. They got a big following. They do whatever they do. He raps, whatever, but you're not a fighter. Like, go.
Which one raps?
The one who just fought.
Which one?
Logan.
Logan or Jake?
So Logan Paul, Jake
Jake's
Paul.
The one who fought. Jake Paul's the one who fought.
T-Raps? Jake Raps, yeah. Oh, he has music videos, he has albums.
That's actually hilarious. Yeah.
So I guess when you have money and you have a big following, you can just do anything and no talent is actually...
I'm not going to lie. I did think you were talking about the black guy.
No.
I was like...
No, he has music videos. He's got, really, like, if you just look at his IG, like, yeah, he lives a cool life, all that money, you know, the girls, but that doesn't mean you could just call yourself a fighter. Like, why? Yeah. Why do you even want to do that? You already have made it. You have it. Like, stop pretending, because if you go in there with a real fighter, that the results are going to be way different.
I think, so here's devil's advocate. I can respect that he's willing to get in there, but don't get in there with fucking Nate Robinson.
Yes, correct.
If you want to fight,
you want to get in there,
go fight somebody.
Start at the fucking amateurs.
Start at an amateur.
And go fight these amateur boxers who have 40, 50, 60 fights and see how you're not going to make it. You won't last.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
I'm a pro fighter and I'm on the undercard of Tyson or you know, whatever.
That's the crazy part.
And you get all this exposure, but it's just if you have money and you have fame, you could pretty much do whatever you want.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part.
He got a shot in UFC.
Real. Yeah, he...
Because of his following.
And I don't even think that card did so well. I think people were kind of like onto it already. Like, yeah, maybe because he waited so long. I don't know. But I heard that card didn't do as well in terms of the numbers anyway for CM Punk.
No, definitely.
I have no idea. I don't know what those numbers look like. But that's what people were saying in like the UFC.
Was he
going to
be the next Brock Lesnar? Like, he's not an athlete like Brock. He didn't wrestle like Brock. Like...
Brock actually won some fights.
And he won the title, which is crazy. He's a physical specimen.
Yeah.
He actually has some talent, wrestled, national champ. Like, yeah. You don't compare. You can't. I don't know. When people try to cross over like that, it just doesn't relate.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating to all these other fighters who are busting their ass every day and trying to make it. And it's crazy.
Yeah. And I get both sides. People are, because I tweeted this and I was like, so all I have to do is, and I'm saying this sarcastically, so all I need to do is grow my YouTube following and people will start to want to watch me fight instead of wanting to watch me fight because I'm actually
because
really
good. And you have skills like, and you busted your ass.
It's no, crazy.
This world is just backwards. It doesn't make sense.
So I got some flack for that. Like, don't be hating on the YouTube guys. You know, they're doing something and they're making money more than you want. You just want a big payday. I'm like, obviously, we want a big payday. What we're saying is not crazy. We're saying, for what we do, you would think if people wanted to watch real fighters fight, they would pay to watch the real fighters fight, and we'd be able to make more money for doing what we do, for putting on real, entertaining, strategical, and actual, like, real skillful fights, not just a guy coming in there winging punches, ducking his head, and then
they were tying up
MMA
the whole time, hugging the whole time.
Yeah, so
that's not boxing.
It's not boxing.
And then he wants to come out and post these stories or they'll hit the overhand right. Then he's calling out McGregor. He's calling out Dylan Danis. Yeah, I don't like Dylan Danis, but he's actually a mixed martial artist. Like, he is a jiu-jitsu champ.
Yeah,
like,
but he'll box him. He's not gonna.
All right, that's fine.
He's not gonna do MMA with
him. But he's actually tough. He knows what it's like to go out there and win. Like, he's a competitor. You know, he's an expert in another field of martial arts. I know it's boxing, it's different, but...
Wild card, Dylan Danis loses to Jake Paul.
I don't think so. And I don't even like Dylan Danis, but no, like, he is still a fighter at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. But the size, and actually, he's probably closer to
Dylan
his
Danis
size.
Dylan Danis, pretty big.
Yeah.
I think he fights at welterweight.
Welterweight, yeah. He's closer to his size. But I do think Jake knows how to... It seems like he knows how to punch with his body a little bit better than Dylan.
But, like, how many people look good on the pads?
Yeah, everyone looks great on the pads.
You take him to deep waters, you start hitting him. The guy that he fought before Nate Robinson was like a little twig. He didn't get touched. So let's see him actually get hit. And now, now this is a fight. Now,
exactly.
Oh, I get hit to my body. Oh, that didn't feel too good. All right, now the next round. Like, you're a little tired, you're a little weathered, you know, you're hurting. And, like, that's what a fighter does. Like, knows those moments. Knows how to get through those moments. And I just don't. It's just crazy that.
That's what I want to see. I want to see how that looks with someone of equal skill. Like, don't get in there with a guy who's never boxed.
We saw it with CM Punk. CM Punk fought a legitimate guy, Mickey Gall,
who got ran through.
Mixed martial artists. And yeah, exactly. And then I feel the same thing will happen if he fights an actual fighter.
Yeah.
Whether it's an MMA fighter or a boxer.
Yeah. If he's going to do another one, which I think he will because he's making good money doing it.
Millions of dollars.
And he's not getting hurt. So it's like, well, why not?
And he's winning.
Yeah. So, of course. So it's like, well, let's get you in there with someone who can actually give you some pushback. And let's see if you really want to do this on the side. Like, I have nothing against anyone who wants to do MMA as a hobby.
Yeah.
They want to just
fight
on the side. Yeah. And they want to take a couple of fights as a bucket list kind of thing. Cool. That's actually fun. And I think a lot of people should do that.
Everyone should do that.
Yeah, so they could understand what we go through. And that it's not that fucking easy to just sit there behind your computer talking shit or behind the TV screen talking shit.
And it makes you look at life a little bit differently. Yeah. Like, you put yourself in bad positions and you are able to work through them. Because it kind of, like, fighting relates to life in a lot of senses, you know?
I agree.
In the real
world. I agree, 1,000%. But I do think he gets a little bit of pushback. We'll see if he wants to continue to do that as a hobby when he's actually fighting. I think the commission should just be like, should be on top of that. Like, all right, you can't be fighting Joe Schmo just because he's a celebrity guy. Yeah.
And we're calling him, like, this is professional boxing.
Exhibition, that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine, but not.
Don't make it a pro win. That's
discrediting all the other pros. Look at how many, what about all the pro boxers that just trying to get that one fight to get their name out there and get the credit they deserve? And they have over 100 amateur fights and how many pro fights? And they can't get a break, and they're just trying and they're grinding and they're fighting and they're winning, but they still can't do it. It's just frustrating to see.
Yeah, the argument is always going to be, well, he has a following that he built. I'm like, all right, I get that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from that. It's the fact that they can come in and say they have a pro record and a winning pro record at that.
And that's not an easy thing to do, is to get this following on YouTube. Like, that's a skill and that's a talent, and that's great, but you can't compare. You can't do this in any other sport. If you have a big following, you can't just say, oh, I'm going to play in the NBA, now I'm on the Knicks.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work in any other sport. Or, all right, a big following, I'm a YouTube star, I'm gonna play third base on the Yankees.
Yeah.
Like, what other sport does this happen in? None.
Yeah,
it's crazy to me.
That's the thing about our sports. It allows anyone to get in, which makes it entertainment.
It is entertainment.
Anyone can just jump in at any given time. It's wacky as hell. It is wacky as all hell.
It's crazy, man.
The main event, Tyson versus Roy Jones. So I was listening to the radio today when I took Becca to the airport, and they were saying that the rules were in place that they weren't allowed to punch each other in the head, which makes a little bit of sense because it felt like they weren't really headhunting. But at the same time, they do a couple, and I guess they were saying, like, oh, that got Mike Tyson really mad when Roy was doing the no look and hitting with the jab.
Yeah, he caught him a couple of times with that.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of different things. Well, it was an exhibition. There's not going to be a winner. No knockdowns or no knockouts. Well, then, like, that's not a fight.
Yeah.
But to me, I was actually impressed. Like, Tyson looked good. I'm a big Tyson fan.
Yep.
Kind of had him going all the way. Like, I always thought he was going to win. And I thought he still had it. He went to the body really good. The level changes. You know, he still had that power, still had that speed.
Yeah.
I definitely thought he won the fight.
And I was shocked with Roy Jones' speed. He was still pretty fast for an older guy.
Yeah, he had some pretty good moments.
Yeah, I almost forgot.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a way more entertaining fight than the Jake Paul thing. The only 100%. Thing that makes that a little bit more entertaining is that you can make fun of Nate Robinson for the way he went out.
Yeah.
Kind of looked like he just took a bow and just laid out flat.
I mean, that's like a fight you see on TMZ in a street fight, two people in the street, and then one
World
guy's
star.
Out cold like that. Yeah, exactly. And it's just so frustrating, man. frustrating to see. And then they get millions of dollars, and just makes no sense.
Yeah, so I was glad to see those guys, though, at least get some respect. And it was nice to see that they weren't like Chuck and Tito.
Yeah, no, it was actually
that hurt me, man.
Fight.
That hurt me to watch, because it was like, dude, what am I looking at? Are you guys gonna really let these guys get in the cage with each other? Tito looked
good.
But Chuck, I was like, dude.
And Tito was fighting prior to that in Bellator against pretty good competition. I know older guys like himself, but, you know, still able to train hard and obviously fight and win. Chuck was out of it for so long. Even on the pad, you just saw that reaction time was not there.
Physically and mentally gone.
Yeah.
It was rough to see.
Literally one hit, and it was like a button. Like, I just turned the light switch off, and he just was out. Like, out, sleeping, fell hard. That should have never happened.
It's and especially because you would imagine in training and in sparring that the coaches would have saw that and maybe told him, like, hey, man. Like,
yeah, well, a lot of guys, like his old coach from the pit.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I forget his name, with the glasses.
With the glasses, yeah. He said he went a corner and he didn't want nothing to do with it, and he stuck by it. He didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know who Chuck found to get to, you know, to coach and corner him. But those guys were obviously looking for a payday as well.
Yeah.
Because any guy who cared about Chuck,
they would never.
No, absolutely not.
Let a guy like that fight. And
no. They were looking out for his best interest.
It's so bad. And I know Dana loves him, but I think he had to let him go because of all the stuff that was going on with his life. And
absolutely.
It's unfortunate to see, man. And the same thing, like I was saying, like, even tying it back to Mike Tyson and everything, it was good to see that he's had his head on right, and they were happy with the draw. They weren't happy, but they were like, Mike was like, you know what, this is entertainment. I'm glad we got to entertain the fans.
It was close enough, and now maybe they could do a rematch.
Yeah, and they put on, yeah, they attacked the body. My thing was the technique. They were still good with the technique. Really they good. Looked like they took it serious in terms of the training camp, and it didn't look like they we were just getting holes for our money.
No.
That's what I was
No, they went
about.
Out there, and they actually fought.
Yeah, so other than that, that was pretty good. Now, the UFC event was pretty good as well. There was a lot of fights on this card that I thought were really good. The main event, just to see how, I know you watched this one. We didn't watch the entire card because we were watching the circus with the boxing.
Yeah.
The boxing circus event, which was the Nate Robinson, Jake Paul. Anthony Smith versus Devin Clark. Short notice for a main event. Anthony yeah. Smith asked for 5 rounds. He made it 5 rounds, but he only needed one to get it done. Devin Clark, tough dude, but just primarily a wrestler. Record of 12-5. Anthony Smith, he's now 34-16. He hit the 50th mark for pro fights. That was his 50th pro fight.
A lot of experience. He's been at the top. He's fought John Jones. He's fought all the top guys.
Yeah.
I like Anthony Smith. He had a little bit of a rough road. He was losing a couple fights, but you know, he was able to get this one and finish it pretty quick.
Yeah, and that's what the UFC does. If you're at the top of the heap,
yeah,
you
you're
lose
not getting
two in a row to like other guys within that top five.
You're not getting a layup fight now.
Yeah, they give you a fight. Well, if you lose, so he lost to John Jones.
Yeah,
and then outside of that, let me pull up his record so I don't botch this. He lost to John Jones. He beat Gustafsson. Had two grappling fights, right?
Good one.
Mm-hmm. And then he fought Glover. He lost. Finish.
Really?
And then
bad.
He fought Ratchet, and he lost decision. So he had two ranked guys, and then typically what they do is they give you a guy who's unranked.
Yes, unranked, but no
pushover fight.
Yeah,
still a tough fight.
Yeah, exactly.
So when I lost to Caraway, and then I lost to Rafael Sunsar right after, so I lost split decision. I was like, oh, they gave me another top ranked guy. So in my head, I'm thinking, okay, this is good. But no, I think their logic is like, we're going to give you another top guy because we're paying you for that.
Yes.
And if you lose, then we drop you down to somebody else. And if you lose that one, usually you get your pink slip, especially if you're not a former champion.
Yeah, usually it's two and done. But
yeah, two or three, and you get your walking papers. I was really nervous after losing that second fight, because then fighting...
Was that a split decision as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Two split decisions
in
a row.
I don't know how you lost that fight. The amount of leg kicks that you threw.
Yeah, because he landed more punches, but even his punches...
Did he land or did he throw more?
He threw more. I didn't think he... I watched it and I counted it up, and I was like, this is just baffling how you can score.
I was shocked when that outcome was...
I was like, I'll kickbox the kickboxer fighter.
Yeah,
that's what I thought in my head, but whatever. And then the next one, I was really nervous because I had to fight Taquinho Mendes, Augusto.
Okay.
And he was a very good leg lock specialist. Beat Eddie Cummins, who was like one of the best guys in the world for BJJ, a leg lock specialist himself. And he beat him twice. No matter how he did it, like they say, it was a boring match. But whatever, he won. He won the competition.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous fight for anybody. You know, Cody Garbrandt knocked him out on short notice. Blitzed him and just boom, 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 dropped him in like a minute. But if that fight hit the ground, it's a different fight. You know,
I feel like a lot of people forget, even if they don't have this name, you know, these guys are still good. Everyone in the UFC
dangerous.
Is good and dangerous. And that almost makes it worse. Now you're fighting a guy who doesn't have that name. And if you lose, they're like, oh, he lost to a nobody. But in reality, that guy's not a nobody. That guy's a legit fighter.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. So I fought him, beat him. And I was almost brought to tears. I was like, don't you cry on fucking TV. Don't you do it. Get back in there. Pull it back in.
Okay, you could have did the DC.
Yeah. Because it was frustrating because on top of that, I was starting to finally push that, you know, I am a Jamaican descendant and first generation, you know, and I want to really push that and show people that, you know, I'm still proud of where I'm from. Like, don't think that just because I'm born and raised in America that I wasn't raised with my roots intact. Like, my parents raised
your
us like that.
Yeah, your parents, exactly.
It was a different household. It wasn't an American household.
No,
you know, I went to an Americanized school, but the way we were raised at home was completely different from the other kids and my counterparts.
Just standard American.
Yeah, it's just
absolutely.
Completely different. So to lose when I was carrying the flag and then to go on that one, I was like, yo, I'm going to be cut. I'm not even going to get a chance to raise the flag with a W, which is insanity to me. And I finally got to do it, and I put that flag up, and I was like, bring it back.
It's a good moment, man.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then the finish too, you know, got that finish.
No, I didn't finish him.
No?
I didn't finish him.
Wasn't
went to a decision.
The one where you got the...
I blitzed him like I was doing... I worked on my boxing so much for that fight. And I was punching him, tagging him up. And then there was a couple times I was slipping, but I wasn't ripping. So I was slipping. And then I'd make a miss in the end of the third round. And I would come back like the boogeyman. And then we had that, like, the little moment at the end where we exchanged a bunch and it went to the bell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
After I fought Barral right after that.
Okay. And then who, you got a guillotine, I think, from the.
That was Johnny Eduardo.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
That was before Caraway. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was before the first loss, 4-0 in the UFC, 3 finishes in a row. Yeah. Whatever. But whatever. It's so I forgot how we even started talking about that. Oh, Anthony Smith. Yeah. So you fight.
The losses and then.
Yeah, and then eventually you get a lesser of a competition in terms of the rankings and the name value. Yes. Yeah, so good kudos to him, man, especially him doing it with style points. He got a triangle from his back, yeah, the way he set it up. And that takedown hit was beautiful. The double under his body lock after being blitzed by Devin Clark, stopped the takedown, got hit with the right hand, but it was kind of like rolling with it.
Yes.
Body lock, took him down, got reversed, came back,
and then
hit the triangle
from the bottom. Yeah. So, you know, dangerous from everywhere because, you know, you're usually known as a knockout artist, but now, look, he's finishing fights off his back. So,
yeah.
And good for him for doing it for this long and still showing that passion and will to win.
That's only 32, bro.
Yeah, a young.
50 fights.
I don't know. That's so crazy.
It's wild.
That is crazy, man.
He's like me, how I wanted to be. I want to be a guy who got in there and just fought all the time. Yeah, because I felt like that was the only way to really get better. Like, this guy's fought everywhere when you think about it.
Yeah, that's a lot of fights, man.
Yeah, you get guys now who are like picking and choosing, don't know where they want to fight, don't know when they want to fight. Nah, I need a vacation. I'm like, bro, your career just started. What are you talking about? You need a vacation. He had a stint where he lost 4 in a row before he got into the UFC in Iowa on the regional circuit.
And just kept at it, though. Yeah. Like, he never let that discourage him and, like, quit. All right, maybe this isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that a lot with guys. Like, Masvidal doesn't have the best record, but he just kept at it. He lost some fights maybe he shouldn't have. And now, look at his stardom now. You know, I feel like if you just keep at it, eventually you're going to get
switch,
that big man.
He made that switch. And then this was all before he got to the UFC. He got to Strikeforce, fought Roger Gracie in Strikeforce.
No, I didn't even know he fought Strikeforce.
Lost to Josh Neer. It's crazy. We fought in Bellator. Fought for Cage Fury.
I didn't know that either.
Bellator. RFA. This guy fought everywhere.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And just to let you know, man, you just, like you said, you just don't give up on your dreams.
No, you work hard to stay the path and... It's not easy.
You might get a break.
As you know, like, it's not easy. You know, yeah. There's going to be hard times, but if you truly believe in yourself and what you're doing, you know, you'll get there eventually.
Yeah, for sure. There were a couple of fun fights. We're not going to get into details on them. The Paiza guy, he looked good. Bill Algeo. He fought James, Jiu-Jitsu James.
Did he?
Yeah, he fought him for Ring of Combat, I think it was.
Okay.
He beat us. He beat Spark Carlisle. Fun fight. Really entertaining to watch. Jonathan Pierce beat Kaya Kamaka, who really thought was going to have a lot of success in this fight.
Especially in the striking. Really
solid
striker.
Pierce is only 28 years old. He's 6 feet tall. He only lost to Joel. He lost to Joel Lozon before this. That was his UFC debut, ground and pound. Oh, I remember that fight.
Yeah.
You know, he introduced himself to me. I don't know if I might have said something bad about it against the Joe Lozon. And maybe, I don't think so. I try not to rip fighters on Twitter.
Yeah.
I like to have a good time on there. Yeah. I'm always talking shit. And I like to have a good time on Twitter, but I don't think I shit it on. I try not to, like,
why,
crap
did he
on
say
anybody
something
too bad. Yeah, he just came up to me when I went to go get my test with Rebecca so I could go to PI this week. Comes up to me and just goes, I'm Jonathan Pierce. And I was like, I didn't know who he was.
What's up, man? Yeah.
But he was at the UFC residence hotel. So it was either he was cornering or he was fighting.
Or his fight, yeah.
But the way he introduced himself, I'm like, maybe he's fighting. I don't know. Like, is he in my weight class? I'm like, you're mad tall, bro. Like, hopefully you're not in my weight class because I had to chop those legs down. But yeah, that was cool. So, and we like Kamaka. He did some good stuff for us, helping out with the training camp as well.
Yeah,
jumping
absolutely.
In short notice. Didn't even know me from a hole in the wall, but willing to help.
Exactly. You know, short notice.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I guess that's the risk you take.
Yeah. And even the Martin Day kid, he lost to Dos Santos. I went to Hawaii twice now, and I got to train with those guys a bunch. So those guys are like my extended team.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see those guys not get their hammers. I didn't know Kai, but I know Martin Day. He fell into that guillotine.
He was a big favorite
in that fight. It was weird to see. It's tough seeing that because you just saw that with Alex Perez.
Yeah.
Kind of like you got the takedown and you went to his back and you like went into his guard with the guillotine. It's like almost like the pressure.
It was crazy. It was crazy.
Gina came back. She looked good. Got a win over Rachel Oshovich. And this kid, he's a bantamweight, no, 125, Sue Majeri. He fought Malcolm Gordon, finished him in like 35 seconds in the first round, knocked him out.
Impressive.
Yeah. And this guy, Nate Maness, I keep calling him Madness. Nate Maness. Maness. Nate.
Nate. Nice, simple. Yeah. Just leave it at that.
He beat Luke Sanders, catch weight at 140, and got the finish, rear naked choke. He got blitzed early, came back, battled some adversity, and took out who I think is really good. I think Luke Sanders is actually really good, and it's weird to see him lose some of these fights. I'm like, I don't get it. You got really good striking. I think he hits hard. He's short, compact. He's explosive, got long arms. But then these jiu-jitsu guys, he lost to the same guy that lost to Corey Sandhagen, who almost ripped his arm off in that triangle choke when he dropped him, then threw him down. Well, he clipped him, hurt him, grabbed him, threw him down, and then put him in that inverted triangle.
Okay.
And then Sandhagen got out and just pissed pound the crap out of him. Okay. It was on the first round. This is when his arm should have been broken, bro. I think we watched it.
We did. Yeah, yeah. He was in. Okay. Yes. Yeah, I remember it.
Not Pantoja. Whatever. He fought the guy. I forgot his name. I'm going to remember it later.
Yeah, not good with all the names either. Yeah. A lot of fighters.
But the same thing. He fought that guy. Okay. So we got the next card this weekend, December 5th. Jack Hermanson taking on Marvin Vettori, the Italian Stallion. That's not his nickname. I just made that up. He is Italian, though. His nickname is something, the Italian Dream. That's
the only reason why I know him or recognize him is because he was calling out Chris on Twitter. Like,
yeah.
I never really seen him fight. You said he was actually...
He's tough, man.
Yeah.
I think that would be a tough fight for Chris. You know, as a young, hungry kid. And he's fresh and he's only 27. He can take hard shots, you know, where obviously I'm not saying Chris can't take a shot, but I just think when you're fighting a guy like almost like Jose Aldo versus Max Holloway, when Aldo was outboxing Holloway said, you know what? Let's change gears. Let's sit in the pocket and see who falls first.
Yeah, exactly. So who could take...
Who's got a better chin right now.
Exactly.
And Max won that fight twice.
Yeah, the younger guy is most likely take it.
One's a little bit more battle-worn, you know? So you got to take those type of things into consideration. So I think that's why Vettori was calling him out because I think he saw that maybe I can do that too and it'll be a tough fight. But if Chris got him down...
it's a big name for Chris. You know, whoever fights Chris, it's always a big name.
Yes. But I think if Chris were to take Vettori down, he's a fish out on...
Yeah.
I don't land.
Absolutely. It's, get that takedown probably end of the night.
Chris just needs to be in shape, and I think he's a nightmare for anybody.
Yeah.
Once he's in shape, I think a lot of those fights he did lose in the third round or whatever.
But I don't think he was ever, besides the Reyes fight. Well, no, even the Reyes fight, he was always winning.
Yeah.
And then if he got caught.
I think he made a mistake in that one.
Yes, but he was winning. He got straight forward. It didn't happen. The fight wasn't very long. But all the other fights, he was winning and then happened to get caught.
But
he never gets outmatched.
Never. You know? And I will say, like, sometimes when he does get caught or he is winning, it's like he almost relaxes a little bit.
Yeah.
Like even Jacare, where he's just covering
up. The Jacare fight was, you know, perfect. Like, he was tagging him. But... you know, he's such a good wrestler. I don't know if it's because, you know, he's Jacare Jiu-Jitsu. But I feel like, all right, you're up now. Let's just be on top.
I think he was having so much fun with the striking.
Yes.
And that kind of reminded me of the Pedro Munhoz fight. Because in my head, I was like...
Yeah, exactly.
I need to get this fight down to the ground because this is his only chance to really, really win, especially in the third round. But
then when you were striking, you saw that you were actually, you know, you were winning from the striking.
As long as I didn't sit there and let him hit me
where
he can potentially hit a shot that just might get through.
Because those small gloves, that one shot, that's all it takes, man.
And Jacare hit him with a weird shot that just,
I think it was on the top of the head.
The angle looked weird. It looked like it was a forehead. And then at the same time, it looked like he hit him in the temple where it took all of his equilibrium out.
Yeah.
And so... you never know. I just think sometimes when you get tired, it makes it easier to sit into place because then you're like, you take a shot that you don't need to take because you're like, well, I ate all the other ones and I was fine.
Yeah.
So. Or I rolled with it. But then that could just be just that one shot,
you don't
man.
See, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you get tired, you know, like you said, it just
becomes a little bit easier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got to be focused the whole fight.
So we got Jack Hermanson taking on Marvin Vettori. I don't know which way to lean with this one. Jack Hermanson is ranked 5th. Vettori is ranked 13th. It says worldwide. So I don't know what his actual UFC ranking is because this is not the UFC ranking. This is Tapology.
Okay.
Hermanson is a good grappler. We saw when he fought, what was it, Jacare? That fight was very not fun to watch. No, it was Jacare.
It was, okay.
Jacare came up to 205 to fight him. And this is 85.
This is 85.
What am I talking about? So who did he fight?
or Jacare went up to fight the other guy, the guy who's a champ now. Blokovic. So I mixed that up completely. My bad. They don't all look alike. So that was so bad. I'm so glad I caught that.
You get mixed up sometimes.
Because I get people that comment and they fucking, hey man, that's wrong. Yeah, that's wrong. I'm like, well, I can't go edit it now. What do you want from me?
No, as long as you correct it, it's
good. Yeah. Mistakes. So he beat Gastelum, heel hook, lost a cannoneer.
Okay.
And he beat Jacare.
I was shocked when that happened.
He almost submitted Jacare when he had that guillotine, and Jacare turned his whole body the opposite way and gave up his back. I've never seen that defense in my life.
Yeah.
And because of Jacare, I took that and put it in the arsenal.
There you go.
Yeah. So this is a tough fight. He's got good grappling. He's got a lot of submissions. He got guillotine over Gerald Machado. He has ground and pound over Tyus Lates. David Branch, guillotine.
David Branch, good one.
Jacare decision. Jacare heel hook. Brad Scott, ground and pound. Alex Nicholson, ground and pound. Punches. So he's and some arm bars. So he's got a little bit of everything, man. He's a tough guy. I don't know if Marvin Vettori is ready for this upper echelon, but he did only lose to Israel Adesanya.
Yeah.
Oh, he lost to Antonio Carlos Jr. by decision. But that was a close fight. And Omari Akhmedov, who Weidman just beat, he went to a draw with him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so. See, I didn't see any of those fights, but I did hear he lost to Izzy, and it wasn't a finish.
That was Izzy's second fight, I believe.
Okay.
It wasn't a finish. He went to decision. Izzy said he had a hard head.
Okay.
He had a block head. So. Yeah. Yeah. So this is an interesting matchup.
Fight, yeah. Good for the middleweight division, too.
Keep everything moving. I know Marvin's been trying to call out guys in top 15, but nobody's been wanting to fight him, so this is his opportunity. He's got a big break because Kevin Holland, who was supposed to fight Jack Hermanson, had COVID, and they pushed him back 2 weeks. And he's actually going to be main eventing on, not main event, but fighting on December 19th now.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I think they pushed him back to that. So it's a lot of good fights coming up. Who else is on this card? Overeem St. Preux is fighting this guy, Jamal Hill. That's the co-main event.
That's at 205?
At
heavyweight?
Yeah, it says light heavyweight.
Okay, so he's back to 205.
Co-main event. Roman, the guy who's been training at the gym, he's Georgian also. Roman, I don't know how to say his last name, Dalidzi. Probably completely wrong, yeah. But I'll take it.
Apologize now, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big guy, 7-0. He's a submission specialist guy. Oh, man. But he can hit pretty hard. I don't think his striking is the craziest, cleanest,
but
not like Hamzat, but another Georgian fighter, Russian fighter. They don't like when you call him Russian, but another Georgian guy. He's 32 years old, reaches 76. Okay. He is 1-0 on the UFC with ground and pound finish. Knee to ground and pound. Okay.
Okay, knee to ground and pound.
Ibrahimov, he beat that guy. I don't know.
Not familiar.
Those names are also crazy. He's got spinning back fist knockout, punches by finish. I mean, finished by punches. Finished by punches, rear naked choke, heel hook.
Yeah, those guys are just going to go after it, man.
Yeah.
He's looking to hurt you.
Yeah, so he's, but, you know. Yeah. Good grappler, 7-0. I get to watch him and Ramazan spar sometimes in the gym at Extreme, and it's fun to watch.
Oh, nice.
This guy he's fighting is a Brazilian. I don't know much about him. John Allen.
Never heard.
Yeah. Vellante's on this card.
Ah, that's exciting.
Collier, he's fighting him. That should be a good fight.
This is at 205 or heavyweight?
Heavyweight. Okay. This kid, Jake Collier, is coming up from 205. I believe they said he was actually coming up from 85.
Oh, wow. Well, so they should be around the same. Like, they're both not true heavyweights, so.
Yeah.
Should be close in size.
I don't know, man. Vellante is a true heavyweight, if you ask me. That's a big boy.
He is big.
That belly is, that belly is different.
Yeah.
Matt Wyman's fighting again? Is this the same one?
Matt Wyman?
Matt Wyman. Wyman,
okay.
This guy's been around for a while, if I remember correctly. Yeah, 2013 fought TJ Grant, Paul Soss. He beat him by armbar. He fought Isaac Valley Flag. He hasn't fought in a while. He hasn't fought since 2014. No, so he fought 2014. Then he fought twice in 2019. Luis Pena, he lost to. Joe Selecki, he lost to. And he's fighting Jordan Levitt from Syndicate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I think he's got a lot of guys fighting the UFC.
This is going to be a tough fight. Jordan's pretty tough. He's crafty on the ground. Very awkward. If you ever went to Syndicate and spar with him, he does like this kung fu thing.
Oh, yeah?
If you punch at him, he does like, it's the most kinda bizarre like thing, but it's hilarious. And it actually works.
Yeah, no, it does work.
Because
yeah.
It's hard to punch him in the face.
And you kind of don't know what the fuck is he doing.
Yeah. So you're just subjected to leg kicks. That's all you can really do.
Playing around with me? Is this like a joke right now?
Yeah. I had to talk to Mike Powell. I was like, what is this? Yeah. What is that? But his name is the Monkey King.
Okay.
That's his nickname. So I don't know if he's got a bunch of monkeys. Oh, here's the guy that fought Mursad Bektik that beat him on short notice that we were talking about. Damon Jackson. I was like, he's got a huge head.
Okay.
But Mursad Bektik kept putting himself in the guillotine multiple times, and then finally he was actually able to latch onto it, and then he choked him out.
Okay.
Crazy. And he made his return back to the UFC, short notice fight, and got a huge win. He was a huge underdog. Yeah, so this one actually has a bunch of good fights. Jimmy Flick fighting Corey Durden. Jimmy Flick was on the Ultimate Fighter the same day that Dennis Bazookia was on it.
Oh, yeah? The Contender Series?
Yeah, he won on that. Louis Shmoka is fighting, and Gabriel Benitez fighting Justin James, who trains out at Extreme Couture. Justin James does. So a lot of good fights.
Yeah, that's a good card.
I don't know what I'm going to do in these next few days. I got on Twitter, and I said I wanted to do a boxing fight, which I 100% do want to do. I know people are saying you're just trying to get money, which is one. That's not a bad thing.
Tell me the response, because I deleted Twitter, so I didn't see anything.
It was mixed. It was mixed. But a lot of people originally thought I was trying to fight Mayweather. And I was like, no. I want to fight under Mayweather Promotions.
Yeah.
Because I think he would do the right thing and pay me a solid paycheck. That's one. And give me an opportunity to fight and test my skills in the boxing world, which I actually want to do. Because I think I could do okay.
I think so, too. With and, the right training, you know, your style, you know, adjust a little bit. I think, you know, a good experience. It's just like, you know, switch it up a bit.
It'd be fun. We'll see what happens with that. I'm supposed to be talking to some of these guys, and they say they will see what they can do. They're going to take me under their wing at Floyd's gym, and we'll see what happens. Maybe Floyd himself might train me.
Yeah.
Shadow Box. Exactly. DD Box. DD Box.
A little bit of that. I think the training in general will be helpful. You know.
Yeah, 1,000%.
To, you know, with your title fight.
And Petey Yan's a boxer, too.
Yeah, exactly. And no one's saying you have to box with him there, but just being... you could definitely take...
Bring this up.
Bring it up?
Yeah, to you. Yeah.
What, did it fall away?
No, it's like low.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think the training could definitely benefit in the fight.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see. Hopefully we can make it happen. Even if it's 6 rounds, man, I'll do 6 rounds. I think I can bang that out, no problem. 6 threes.
6 3-minute rounds, yep.
See what I got. See what I got with just the hands and the cardio and the conditioning, because that's a different type of conditioning.
You would actually do good in kickboxing because those kicks just whip up, man. You stay really active with the kicks, but
that means I'm going to get kicked up too. That's the only thing.
Yeah, but you're hard to hit. You know, the movement is good.
At least with wrestling, I can kick you
and then
get out of the way and take away your opportunity to kick me back, kind of like what I was doing with Pedro, like jamming him up.
Yes.
But in this, you're not really allowed to... clinch.
No,
you gotta
be broken up,
strike right away.
Yeah,
it would be fun to do one, but I don't want to fight one of those high level killers right out of the gate. Like, give me someone that I can compete with, and I'll do it. Like, someone who would be considered my ranking. Like, don't use my MMA ranking to do my ranking in kickboxing. It's not the same, it's a completely different sport.
It's different, exactly.
But we'll see. By the way, got a lot of compliments on the rash guard that's on my website, alzamirstone.com. And I got a couple of other stuff for you guys. Took a little bit of a bite, dipped and dabbled from some other companies that might look familiar. I'm not going to say exactly which one, but some of the swag that I liked, and I want to recreate some stuff and make it my own. You know, so AlgebraStar.com. I still got a promo going till Tuesday morning, but I'm actually going to extend it for another week. It's 25% off.
Go grab your
Go grab some gear. Go grab that. Grab that. other than that, I think we're all good. I'm going to get ready to hit the PI, get some PT done, and then I got to figure out training. I got to get ready to take Delemi to the airport as well. My brother and I are going to figure out what we're going to do for training later. Probably just hit some pads just to kind of stay in somewhat in shape. I'm not trying to get too far out of it.
Yeah.
We had a good weekend drinking a little bit. At least I did. And it gets a little nerve-wracking to drink sometimes, because when I drink is when I get sick. Your immune system is compromised. Your body is like, ooh, it's not working the way it's supposed to.
You didn't get crazy drunk. You're not hungover. Yeah, but you know, just a little bit. Take the edge off. Relax a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Of course. But I do think when you drink, it makes you a little bit more susceptible to like illnesses. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially like this time with the COVID, you know, flu season is here. We're coming up.
So I made my shake. I made my smoothie shake. Make sure I got that ginger in my body, you know. All right. So let people know where they can find you.
Instagram and adelemi1.
No girls.
Yeah, no girls.
JK. And,
I don't have Twitter right now. So yeah, just Instagram. Actually, it's a_dilemmi. Yeah. That's it.
a_dilemmi.
Yep.
You don't have a nickname.
I don't.
Damn.
I mean, a couple of people at the gym throw around some, but.
What'd they say?
Dylan made the Don.
The Don.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to choose it.
Anthony, the Don Dilemmi. The Don.
Sometimes.
Anthony Dilemmi.
The announcers mess it up and they say the dilemma. Which I get, even though it isn't. That's actually pretty good. Clearly an E at that, you know, at that.
That's actually pretty good. The dilemma.
But they don't even say that. They just say Anthony Dilemma. So they're just messing up my last name, but it's okay.
Like, yo, I'm a problem.
Yeah.
I'm the dilemma. That's actually not bad.
Yeah.
No? I don't know if you say Anthony the Dilemma Dilemmi. Anthony Dilemmi the Dilemma.
Yeah. I don't know.
The Dilemma.
Whatever sticks, I'm just gonna take it.
Yeah.
Whatever. We'll see.
I was even saying the Anvil.
Oh, speaking about nicknames.
The Anvil.
The SmackDown in the past. The SmackDown. It wasn't always the Funk Master.
The Wolf.
The Wolf.
I was the Wolf. I was the SmackDown.
I like the SmackDown.
And I would come out there and lay the SmackDown with a rear naked choke.
He thought it was WWE. He didn't know.
On my YouTube channel. My vintage amateur MMA fights. So crazy.
That was cool to see. And just like how you did it as an amateur was definitely like an eye-opener.
It's crazy, man. Different times,
like you said. Going the right way. Like the right way to do it. Staying active, fighting, taking those opportunities. And, you know, that's why you are where you are now.
Yeah.
You know?
Just gaining some experience, man. I think there's no substitute for experience. Like absolutely. The real McCoy, getting in there and actually doing it. I know people worry about their record so much, but honestly, the UFC doesn't give a shit. It's not boxing. If you go on a losing streak and then all of a sudden you have a breakthrough and it's just like, voila.
Yeah. Like, look at Jan Blachowicz. He's the champ now. And I think
look at his record.
He started the UFC, I think, with a losing record.
Yeah.
Like 0-3, 0-4, whatever it was. Now he's a champ. No one remembers that.
Yeah. Even that kid, Brian Kelleher, he started his career like almost 500. There was a point he had a losing record. And he wanted to like give up. And then he got back on the horse. Then I think he rattled off like 6 or 7 fights in a row and then got picked up by the UFC. Won his debut with a guillotine over Yuri Alcantara, that's who the guy was. Okay. I couldn't remember his name earlier.
Okay. Yeah,
Alcantara. Yeah. Yeah, that was the guy Corey Sandhagen fought, and that was the guy Luke Sanders fought.
Okay.
He put him in like 3 different knee bars, beating his ass, and then eventually got submitted. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
That this guy was destroying him like this and then gets caught in a knee bar in the third round.
That's crazy.
Being sweaty.
All sweaty.
Might have been the second, but he was just dead because he beat the crap out of him. It was so bad. But
it's impressive.
Yeah. Other than that, guys, if you like my shit, subscribe to my shit or spin it back fist,
you
baby. I'll see you guys later.
But you gotta get the steps.
Peace out, guys.
And remember, we bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye-bye.